Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Small companies are worried about the additional cost burdens imposed on them since January. But last week, the Congress of Trade Unions told me on the show that those fears were exaggerated. Either way, small businesses have their wish list ready for October's budget, which is expected to be a pre-election starting gun. It all comes as ISME tries to attract more female entrepreneurs. And Neil MacDonald is the chief executive of ISME. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Joe.
So, ICTU says your members are exaggerating the new cost burdens on small companies. Are they right?
Unfortunately not, Joe. And it's sad to hear that sort of mantra that employers are making up difficulties on the cost side when it has been very much apparent since the start of the year that, service businesses in particular are struggling to meet the increased costs of business that have resulted since we made such a step change to the minimum wage and to other terms such as statutory sick pay since the beginning of the year. The costs are real, and small businesses and small services are struggling to meet those costs.
Okay, now we have relatively new finance and enterprise ministers. Have they said anything in recent weeks to give you guys any comfort?
Well, we have the increased cost of business. There has been a commitment to assist small businesses to meet those higher costs. Our mantra going into this budget cycle has been, please don't make the situation worse. Businesses can absorb costs when they have the ability to pass them on. The difficulty is if the market is unwilling to absorb those costs, and let's cut to the chase, what does that mean? That means that you and I must pay more for our goods and services. The cost of our coffee or our short back and sides has to go up. If the market is not willing to absorb those costs, then businesses will not be able to recover them. So at the moment, we've said we've had a very significant step change at the start of 2024, and we should not see any changes beyond the rate of inflation for 2025.
Is that the main ask for you guys in the budget in early October?
Well, obviously, our pre-budget submission is online. We have quite a substantial set of asks. We actually have 11 main thematic asks for the minister, which I'm not going to bore all your listeners with now. But the important thing is, from a work point of view, we always want to see work pay for individuals. And from a worker's point of view, In this pre-budget, as we have in several previous pre-budget submissions, we've pointed out that unfortunately certain interactions between the tax and the social protection system mean that, in many cases workers are better off. It's not that they're better off not working, but in many cases, they're better off if they reduce their working week from 5 days to 4 days or 3 days. That's not good for those workers, albeit it actually is fiscally good for them. But it's not
bad for the economy.
Yeah, it's bad for the economy and it's bad for the exchequer. We should not be paying people to work less. Low work intensity is one of the characteristics of the Irish economy that the ESRI notes we should not have. And the way to do that, the way to address that, is to ensure that working always pays.
Now, you're hosting a conference this week specifically aimed at luring more female entrepreneurs into business. Tell us more about that.
Well, we're not hosting that. That's a separate conference. But there is a considerable emphasis in that on addressing the gender pay gap, and we're fully behind the gender pay reporting legislation, which, of course, at the moment requires gender pay reporting down to bodies of the size of 150 personnel, and that's progressively going to go further. What we're hoping to see in the future is that while we support that legislation, in our view, the best way to increase female participation, but also to drive gender pay equality, is actually to increase the provision of affordable quality healthcare. And, you know, we represent a very substantial number of providers in that industry. So we would see that as a far greater priority that, than purely relying on gender pay legislation to drive equal pay in the workplace.
And what about childcare as well? That must be pretty important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, some of the trends we have seen among our smaller providers, and I'm always conscious, Joe, when talking to you, you know, that the childcare market is represented on a spectrum from large multinational providers, many of which are seen to be doing quite well at the moment, down to very small, you know, our rural childcare tends to be provided by small mom and pop operations in houses or small bespoke facilities. And they're the ones that are reporting to us that they are really struggling to comply with the increased costs of business that have applied since the start of the year. In the absence of affordable quality childcare, inevitably what we see is that the first person to reduce their working hours or to go for part-time working in the workplace is the female. Generally, the only exception to that rule is where the female is the higher earner. So while our gender pay gap reporting is based on hourly rates of pay, not on total remuneration, it still is a fact that, you know, people who are part-time working or reducing work weekly worked hours, they do have a lower opportunity to train and advance and get promoted. It's unfortunately true, but that's the nature of that shorter working relationship. And if we don't have access to affordable quality childcare, you know, inevitably more women than men are going to fall into that box.
And would you say that the hot or in-demand skill sets for the workplace of the future may be more suitable for female rather than male entrepreneurs?
Well, that's a trend we've, you know, we attended a World Economic Forum presentation a couple of years back on this, and it is interesting to see that to look at the emerging rather than the declining skill sets. The declining skill sets tend to be, and I'll try and avoid getting myself in trouble, Joe.
Physical manufacturing.
Yes, the typically male skills, manual dexterity, management of materials, technical installation and maintenance, management of personnel, they will never go, of course, but they're on the decline. Whereas the growing skill sets required in the workplace are those for analytical thinking, emotional intelligence, complex problem solving, critical thinking and analysis. They tend to be skills where women have the edge in a lot of cases over their male counterparts. So in the long run, if we can solve, that availability for work, whether that is through working from home solutions or, you know, as I've said, which is very important because working from home is not a childcare solution, the access to affordable quality childcare, we see the coming decades as those where we're going to naturally see a far higher demand for female labour in the workplace.
Okay, Neil, thanks very much for that. That is Neil MacDonald, the Chief Executive of ISME.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.